B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11:20. Cuz Radio with Judas on Good Friday. 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. We're talking a lot about the fan, the role of the fan, and if we have, are we in this rabid fan base a net positive, a net negative, or completely benign when it comes to the front office and the players? We're talking draft and just all around quarantine topics. And joining us, I thought it would be fun to visit with an old friend and find out how he's doing down in Tampa. He is, of course, one of Delco's finest. That's right. On the Comcast Business Hotline, our friend Anthony Becht. Go in.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
How you doing down there, buddy? How you doing with the family?
Life is good, man. You know, we're, it's always sunny. It's always nice, so we can go outside, you know, the confines of the lot size here and get out and kind of walk around, do our thing. But, you know, we've been okay, man. Just, I find myself eating a little more, maybe watching a little more TV than I normally would have. But, things are good in the house for sure.
That's good. That's good. Have you noticed around, and you're in the Tampa area, have you noticed around town the chain? Like, how are they handling the pandemic down there?
Yeah, you know, it's been okay. I really haven't left the house much. I mean, we took a drive yesterday, just got in the car, me and my wife, and kind of drove towards the beach area, didn't get out of the car, and it was kind of quiet. And, early on, obviously, with spring break and then the end of March, it was kind of painful to watch, so many people out and about. But, you know, it's pretty quiet in Tampa and the surrounding areas right now. So, like I said, we're just hunkering down. And if it's not the food store, I'm diving into some maintenance projects around the house, sprinkler heads, stuff like that. So Ace Hardware has seen me occasionally. So a lot of YouTubes to figure out how to do those things up.
Very good, buddy. Very good. All right, let's talk a little draft. First, before we get into the kind of nuts and bolts, I want to ask you, do you think the fan, but you've been around sports your whole life, played for a long time in a major market, you played for several teams, but of course your big market was New York. And when you were drafted, what kind of role do you think the fans have when it comes to an organization, when it comes to a player? What kind of impact does a fan base have?
As far as what, drafts? We're drafting a guy or signing
just
a guy?
And when it comes to the draft, when it comes to the pressures, when it comes to front office or the player. I mean, go back to your draft day and tell us the story. I know.
You know, it's funny. My agent actually, I had never seen it, to be quite honest with you. My agent sent me the video clip of me getting drafted on TV. You know, it was when I did get drafted, it was such a crazy time. You know, with my family and friends, I didn't really get to kind of listen to everybody speaking and the fans. And you get drafted by the Jets, 95% of the time, you're probably going to get booed off the stage. I was the last of the four first round picks that year. So it was kind of like half and half. When I actually watched it, I was kind of nervous, but I'd say about 75% of the fans were putting their hands up and cheering. And some of them, of course, just for TV purposes in New York, you know, they have to get a couple of those boo birds out there. So I did get a couple boos, but I don't know. I mean, listen, I think it really comes down to, I don't think organizationally, as far as bringing a player in or drafting a player or finding a guy that they want, I don't think it necessarily has, really anything with the fan base. I think where the fan base gets involved a little bit is if that production of that player doesn't happen or doesn't reach the ceiling that maybe, the front office or the coaching staff maybe predicted or think they thought would bring to the table. And of course, media driven, and you're talking about markets. I mean, New York, Philadelphia, LA, I mean, those kind of markets can really, rise a guy and bring a guy down. So I think it's after the fact. I don't know if it necessarily, you know, kind of has anything to do as far as bringing it there. But, you know, of course, there's, you know, you hear it. It's got to be talked about day to day. I mean, I know organizations of people say they don't listen to the media, but it's in front of them constantly. Twitter, everything is around them. They can see those negatives and the positives, and that does wean on some and leans on more guys than others. Certain GMs may feel a little bit of that, you know, when they're looking in the process of free agency in the draft.
I will say this. I think it's important if you're a general manager and you're drafting an important position, like, say, quarterback, can they handle a pressure of a certain fan base? Like, I'm playing in a certain – like, you know, it's tough to play quarterback in New York or Philadelphia. You have to have a certain, like, thick skin to play in some of these markets.
No doubt. I mean, you're 100%. You know, you look at skill sets, you look at what guys can do, but, you know, a lot of these college kids are coming from colleges that are kind of confined in the you know, not having that heavy media presence, and there's so many schools. And it is the biggest test is to find out the intangibles, you know, what makes a guy tick inside, and, you know, where their heart is, and, you know, how are they under pressure when, you know, people are getting on them or things are down. And those are the toughest things that are arguably the toughest to judge for a GM standpoint, because you can't rip a kid's heart open and look or his mind and see what he's thinking, or, you know, his things that are hidden deep inside. So, you know, you're right. In those kind of markets, to get players, the Carson Wentzes of the world, the Sam Darnolds, guys that can handle those kind of pressures and still perform at a pretty good clip, you know, those are huge finds for organizations, and that can really lead to just a long-term growth of those teams and really those guys that are putting those picks together, because they're the toughest ones, like you said, to get when you're talking about finding them from the big cities.
Anthony Beckwith is on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, Ant, a couple things. One, dive into this draft. Let's look at wide receiver, because the Eagles desperately need wide receivers. What are you seeing when it comes to the top three receivers? Because there seems to be, I think there's a big jump. There's a level off. I think there's some good receivers you can get, but I think there are three elite receivers, and I think those are the three out there. What's your opinion on the wide receiver class?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're talking about Judy, Ruggs, and Lamb. I mean, those are the guys that are considered the elite guys coming out of this draft. But I think the biggest thing to remember, and just as past in the history has shown in the draft, you know, the best receivers in the draft have normally not been the top tier guys. I mean, it's very rare that you, especially in this year's draft, where we talk about, okay, yeah, those are the elite guys, but I think the next clip down, those group of receivers, you're going to find a gem and some guys that can be some long-term help for an NFL football team. So, you know, the guys that come to my mind, I think, you know, when you're talking about receivers, I mean, I think the name that I've seen heavy, at least in some of your size, is, you know, Justin Jefferson. A lot of people think that Justin Jefferson, you know, obviously elite size, competitiveness, you know, red zone weapon, tracks the ball outstanding. You know, the kid's a burner, and the one thing that you know about him, and he's one of the hardest workers on the team. He's driven for success. He wants to be great. And that name should be thrown around when you're talking about that pick there. Another guy that I really like, you know, just watching him live.
Let me jump in real quick, because I think you're right in everything you said about the kid. Like, you know, listen, you know, when it comes to talent, you have a great eye. You've covered these guys. You're calling games on the ESPN. You know the college game inside and out. The only thing is, when I look at Jefferson, I look at a guy who's best suited for the slot. And I look at the Eagles, and what they need is speed. They have no speed at wide receiver. And I think Wentz needs a down-the-field weapon. You need somebody that's going to stretch the field other than DeSean Jackson, who you can't trust.
No doubt. So that was just kind of going into what people have been saying on your neck of the woods. Now, my eyes are looking for that kind of guy. You're right. Not only do you need the speed, you need a guy that's above 6 foot. You need a guy that can go get the football, be a red zone weapon. To me, when you're talking about combinations of those things, and from what I've seen covering them live and watching them, you know, grow through as a college player, Denzel Mims, to me, at Baylor, gives you the nice combination of elite size, elite speed. He can catch a ball and make things happen after he catches it. And then you're talking about a guy that, you know, if Chris Carter, like, I would say, in the 10-yard in range in the red zone, can run a fade better than anybody. Just, you know, everybody knows he's going to get the ball, and he still finds a way to hit the slant routes and do those kind of fade routes. So, You know, that to me, when you're talking about what you're asking for, a guy that can stretch the field, a guy that can do those things, I like him a lot. Another guy that I like too, and I think his speed, maybe from a clock standpoint, isn't necessarily visually what you want, but in game speed, I just think he's a game changer. And the one knock on him is a little bit of his injuries during this past season. But Chenault from Colorado might be one of the – he could have been in that elite receiver area when you're talking about the Judys of the world and the Ruggs. You know, coming off that injury, had a core injury this year. But, man, I'm telling you, I don't know if anybody was – I think he was probably one of the most talked about receivers back in 2018. And I think he's going to, you know, coming in healthy, staying healthy, he's one of the toughest, best route running, go get the football kind of guys you can get in this year's draft.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's a real good name. If you look at Wentz, where are you at with him? That, you know, you saw all the struggles, and then he had a terrific last four games of the season. Where are you at with him?
No, I think you know, he's above the mean, which is tremendous, because it's hard to find guys above the mean, and I'm talking about above the, you know, that middle area for quarterbacks in the league. The question is, you know, can he be a guy that can take you to the next level? Can he be a consistent player? You know, the injuries aren't really a factor, but listen, concussions are in that fold. And, you know, you just worry about, you know, is that something that's going to be continuous moving forward in the future, whether they're caused by him or it's, you know, just a random deal, but it still can happen. I like him. I mean, he's got a big arm. I think he's still learning the position as well. I mean, you know, understanding the safeties of the position. I think, you know, he's such a tremendous athlete. I think he has to move around. I think he has to make some plays with his legs. That's key in the league now, because you can't just do it with your arms, stand back there, especially with the offensive line play across the board. It can't be done. So just understanding those things at the position, growing from that. And honestly, that doesn't come from practice. That really is a game-to-game deal. So he's going to continue to get better at that as well. And, you know, continuing to put weapons around him. You know, you mentioned get speed receivers, but to me, can you get a guy that's out there that can do multiple things, a guy you can dump a ball off to. And, you know, he's not necessarily a slot guy, but he's a slash guy. And, you know, two names I just want to throw out to you that I really like that are those kind of players that are running back slash receivers: Antonio Gibson from Memphis and Lynn Bowden from Kentucky. Those guys, you know, you're talking second, third round guys, you know, and especially I believe the Eagles still have their fourth round picks. You can trade in and get another third round pick. Now you add another piece that's kind of a movable part. And in this game, when you look at some of the teams that have done well, they have had that kind of a weapon on the football field. And, you know, those are the kind of players I'm looking at when you're talking about improving the quarterback position and also this offense for Philadelphia moving forward.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, that's I like that a lot. I think that's really interesting. I guess, you know what, when I look at, indulge me for a second, because we're talking to Anthony Becht on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. When I look at this offense, I keep coming back to, this kid has had no weapons really his whole career. I mean, he got stuck with the worst group of receivers. Nelson Aguilar is beyond trash. I mean, he's completely useless, brother. Like, he's useless, man. Completely useless. He was horrible. Jeffrey can't run. And by the way, there's some kind of thing between the two. Jordan Matthews. Look at this. Look at the guys that he's had. And is it any wonder that he had to rely on Ertz so much?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And Goddard as well. I mean, you know, look, it's when you're talking about, you know, what a a collection of receivers should look at. And look, they had injuries and some guys, but the roller coaster ride with Aguilar throughout his career. And then, of course, basically the AAF of receiver crews with Ward and those guys, I mean, you know, did a great job as far as just giving you something out there. But you need somebody, a game changer. You got to have speed. You got to have a game changer type of player. And if you can combine that with the type of tight end weapons that you have, I mean, that's where you start separating yourself in the league, because the tight end position, although we can name a few out there, it's not a strong piece for a lot of football teams. When you got two guys, I just really think that you tag that with a big play receiver, and it's tough, because if you go say, well, we're going to go draft a guy, it's going to take time. You're going to find, if you do your homework, you can find a guy you can plug right now, and he can be a game changer for you, matched up with those other tight ends in your offense. So that's the one piece you're missing, because you can throw now another piece at that other receiver slot area with the tight end and the one receiver that you had. So you don't need those two complementary pieces to be such a high-end kind of guy. So, you know, they didn't do anything in free agency to kind of improve it as far as, you know, making the receiver position anything better. But you're definitely setting yourself up for, you know, for trying to – I would say you're going to try to get two pieces in the draft at the receiver position with your picks if you can, just because you can have the flexibility of getting guys that can contribute, not just second-round guys. Third-round guys can come in, and he could be the guy. You never know. That's how deep and, you know, some questions about how these guys will fit in, and maybe they're better than they are according to, you know, how the pundits or the teams are rating them.
So, all right. So it's interesting how we're kind of going through this whole thing. So I want to ask you, you do a ton of big games on Saturdays. This prevailing notion that you can't draft, that rookie receivers can't help you, I think is a fallacy now. I point to last year. I point to what goes on Saturdays. Hey, look, 10 years ago, that there was a reason why people said that. But I look at what happens on Saturdays and spread offenses, and you see all those Big 12. Even hell, the Big 10 is not the Big 10 anymore. So you see that receivers can come to this league because offenses are just like they are on Saturdays now.
You're right, you know, and I think the one factor, and it's very similar at the quarterback position as the receiver position, is, you know, we do see a ton of guys catching 80, 90, 100 balls in college in these spread offenses and the air raid systems, and the numbers are there. But it's the toughness factor, the wanna, you know, beat you down factor, the guys that have that internal drive. And again, that those are factors that are, you know, there is a skill set to finding those kind of players. There are signs of it on film where you can see it. You know, a perfect example is the Chenault kid. He's probably the most physical, aggressive receiver. You turn on the film, this yeah. dude's trying to, like, embarrass you, and he's trying to get every football and take it to the house. So those are the kind of traits you're trying to tag in. Now, where does that come off to? Okay, well, you know, he runs a 4.38 now, we need a burner, or this guy's 6'5", we need a tall guy. You know, how do you find that perfect combination? You're going to have to give and take on some of those things, or even if it's a statistical thing, to get the guy that you want. But again, very deep, a lot of time to study these guys. You know, there's not a lot of traveling. You know, you're really diving in. And the one thing I like, I think it's, people talk about, well, the, you know, not having the pro days could be issues for GMs.
Right.
And, you know, physicals are important, there's no question, but to actually dive deeper in the film and to really just watch them every snap, every play, you know, a GM and the head player personnel and the coach at that position, just, hey, let's come together and watch these list of guys. Watch them play. What is it good? What is not? I think you just, it allows you to get a little more kind of unified as far as your organization standpoint to really dive into the film. And I think, to me, where we all believe, that's where the majority of your guessing games come. And then, of course, the extra intel that you get, as long as the player is healthy, you know, you can make a better choice. And I think you'll see more guys come to teams in this draft that actually may help them a little bit more, a little bit deeper than just your norm of, you know, a few handful guys here in each round.
All right, so last thing, and I'm going to make you Howie. And I know how you are with tight end position, right? I know how you are. I get it. So I'm going to come to you, and you have two tight ends right now. You brought it up. You love the 12 personnel. Andy Beck's a 12 personnel kind of cat. But I come to you and I go, listen, Mr. GM, we got Zach Ertz, who is an elite tight end, but He just turned down my latest contract extension offer, and he's going to want a lot of money. We got Dallas Goedert, who I think can catch the ball and run after he catches. So he may not be Ertz, but I think he's close, and I think he's financially viable. And if I move Ertz now, knowing that I know that Wentz is favorite weapon, but sometimes that could be a bad thing when he's been forced to rely on one guy and not spread the ball around. I'm going to move Ertz for important draft capital that I can either use to trade up, an extra pick, or maybe even get my end in Ngakoue. What are you saying?
Well, I mean, if I would try maybe draft the guy. I mean, you know, find a player that's suitable. You have really two starting tight ends. So now is there a trade-off on skill set? Of course. You know, Ertz gets a ton of looks. He gets big numbers. There's no doubt. Goddard is a guy that, you know, may not have the craftiness, but he's a guy that can fill that passing scheme role. And, you know, I think you can always find a guy in a draft to complement a good receiver. You know, I don't know how people are talking about the tight ends in this draft, but if that's the situation, maybe you draft the guy. You know, I mean, there's a ton of players.
Do you have my blessing? Do I have your blessing to trade Ertz?
To trade Ertz, okay.
Do I have your blessing?
No. I don't. I would not. It's
the money. I get draft capital. I don't have to be saddled with the big contract.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, right now he's your quarterback's know-all, end-all security blanket. And until you fill the void of someone else, and it could happen. You could do that later in the draft if you feel like you have a piece. But you're not going to lean on a true rookie, regardless of where he's drafted in the draft, to replace that. That kind of output. You want to have that combination. So he's worth the pennies right now, and for this football team, and I don't think you'd get rid of a guy like that.
All right, now I'm not getting rid of him. I'm trying to trade him.
Right, exactly. You know, I would not. I don't think I would do that. I wouldn't do that. No, I like the dual combination. I think that separates you right now. That's why adding the other piece is going to be a lot easier and cheaper. So if you go get the receiver, that value now is more pertinent to putting into a Zach Ertz, and now it kind of offsets kind of what you're looking at as far as your offense is concerned. So, you know, you don't want to dump so much money in the tight end position, but at the same token, the guy has just been premier statistically for them, and you don't want to take away the guy that your quarterback's trying to feed the ball, you know, 80% of the time when times are you know, not quite there for everybody
else. Is that
else.
A good thing, though? I mean, you know, he had to deal with the Jeffrey thing about not spreading the ball around. I mean, there were, like, guys are whining about that. Is sometimes, you've been in those locker rooms, sometimes is it better for a quarterback not to have a guy that he goes to with that kind of propensity?
Absolutely not. No way. Because, you know, listen, he may be pegging him a little more than normal, but we just talked about the lack of receivers, the lack of consistency when you talk about Aguilar, you know, guys being hurt. The one constant for him has been Zach. And, you know, to find him maybe more often than others, and yeah, you're not quite spreading the ball around. You got to supply him with not only talented players, but guys that are accountable, responsible for what they're doing, running the right routes, being on the same page, putting the work in. And, you know, those are the things that Zach Ertz brings to the table. And, you know, if there's a receiver that comes in that offers those same kind of intangible things that he can bring, then he's obviously going to spread the ball around. So it's going to be key for the Eagles, in my opinion, to put those weapons, add those pieces, and in particular that other piece that we talked about, the potential of a movable part, a guy that's kind of a slash that, you know, okay, if I don't dump it to Ertz or look for him late, I got this guy. He can catch it at 2 yards and turn it into 11, you know. So, those are the things that you got to feed your quarterback around so he has that confidence to get the ball to other guys outside of the tight end position.
I tell you, what a fun conversation, brother. I love it. I'm glad you're doing well. I know that you miss everybody, especially in Delaware County, but all across Philadelphia. And what about the camp? Hopefully things lax and we can get past this, because we need the Anthony Beck football camp.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this will be the 15th year, the 15-year anniversary. And, you know, listen, I think the most important thing for me is safety for the kids. I'm not going to have them come out and do anything. Right now the camp is set for June 29th, 30th, and July 1st. a lot of time ahead. I don't know where the world, where the county, the town, states will be at that point. But, you know, we're not really plugging it yet. So we're just kind of hunkering down. And, you know, the kids will come. That's the one thing. And I know the parents will definitely, you know, be ready to get their kids out of the house if they're allowed to do that. So we're going to try to do something fun this year. If, in fact, we do have the camp, it'll be much more easier for kids to go, especially with the burdens of the economy. We're definitely trying to do something positive. So moving forward, hopefully big news comes with the camp and some fun things we're going to do for the families of some of those kids if we're allowed to have it.
That's awesome, brother. Well, keep us posted, okay?
You got it, man. Hey, appreciate you having me on. We get a little closer, man. Let's dive a little deeper.
It's going to
be fun times, man.
I love it.
All
Thanks,
we got
brother.
Is fun, brother.
That's it, man. That's it. Thank you, brother. There he is, the great Anthony Beck on the Comcast Business Hotline. Talking some deep draft, deep team building philosophies, Judas.
And wanting to keep Ertz.
Yeah, I know. Listen, hey, oh, he's Mr. Tight
yeah,
End.
Yeah, I know.
He's Joe Tight End. I love Ertz, but, you know, sometimes you got to make tough decisions. You're the general manager. We'll come back, open up the phone lines again, 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio with Tunis on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.